This time on Weather Brains.
Public reports a tornado on the ground north of Cordova in Walker County. Damage has been reported. Tornado was on the ground near U.S. 78, moving northeast. It will be moving into southwest Coleman County shortly.
Tornadoes, almost too many to count. There are reports that as many as 69 persons may have been killed.
The Hook Echo indicating a possible tornado is moving northeast in excess of 120 miles per hour.
86 people killed.
Lauderdale County, 13 dead. Limestone County, 3 dead. Coleman County, 2 dead in the city of Coleman. The death toll probably stands at 20 at least. A hospital at Jasper was hit.
Reliving a horrifying time in Alabama weather history as we look back at the most extensive tornado outbreak to ever strike the U.S. Hello, I'm David Black on behalf of the Weather Company, and welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about weather, put together by a bunch of weather geeks. With us is James Spann, chief meteorologist with the ABC television affiliate in Birmingham, Alabama. Also with us this time, Bill Murray of the Weather Company, the infamous J.B. Elliott, and the very infamous Brian Peters, all of whom we'll be hearing from momentarily. This is a very special Weather Brains, as we take you to a time in Alabama weather history this state will never forget. By most measuring sticks, the super outbreak of tornadoes that occurred on April 3rd and 4th, 1974, is the most extensive outbreak in U.S. history. A total of 315 people died during this tragic event. There have certainly been outbreaks that killed more, but none produced more tornadoes in a 24-hour period. Here are some of the stats from this incredible event. 148 tornadoes. Six of them in the outbreak were rated as F5. There were 70 violent tornadoes, meaning F3 or greater. Fatalities occurred in 11 states. 118 of the tornadoes had paths of at least 1 mile in length. The total path length equaled 2,598 miles. The mean path length, 18.7 miles. Now, the 102-mile path from the Guin, Alabama tornado is ranked as one of the longest ever in the United States. Now, for Alabama, this state took it hard, suffering the most of the 13 states affected by the outbreak. 86 people killed, 949 injured. At least 8 tornadoes, including 4 extremely intense and long-lived storms, wrought destruction across the state. On this podcast, Weather Brains presents a recreation of the April 3rd, 1974 outbreak in Alabama using the actual text of warnings issued by the National Weather Service in Birmingham that afternoon and night. The first 3 months of 1974 were busy with several active severe weather days. Then April Fool's Day came. A total of 20 tornadoes struck from Alabama to Indiana. One man was killed in a tornado in the Sherwood Park subdivision near Huntsville. The following morning, Alan Pearson, who was director of the National Severe Storms Forecast Center in Kansas City, called Bob Ferry. He was the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service Forecast Office in Birmingham. Dr. Pearson asked Mr. Ferry about the tornadoes that had hit the state on Monday night. Mr. Ferry said that things could have been much worse. Dr. Pearson gave a dire prediction, quote, "If you thought Monday night was bad, just wait until Wednesday." It was already apparent to weather forecasters that a developing storm system had the potential to bring severe weather to a wide area. Now, just where and how the severe weather outbreak would be was uncertain, but Pearson was taking no chances by alerting several National Weather Service offices. On the morning of April 3rd, the Severe Local Storms Forecast Center issued a masterful severe thunderstorm outlook, what we call a convective outlook today. It covered a wide area from northern Louisiana all the way to northwestern South Carolina, then northward to southern Michigan. It included the northern two-thirds of Alabama. The day dawned warm and cloudy. The morning low at the Birmingham Airport, a balmy 70 degrees. The 7 a.m. dew point, a scary 70 degrees. Winds began to pick up out of the south in response to a strong low-pressure system over central Kansas. The central pressure in that low was 28.98 inches, as strong as a hurricane. Winds began to pick up during the day, increasing to 10 to 20 miles an hour, gusting as high as 35 miles an hour. Under partly cloudy skies, temperatures soared. The official high in Birmingham was 84 degrees, about 13 degrees above normal. With the high dew points, it felt sticky. Many people would comment later that it felt like tornado weather. Morning soundings indicated a classic setup in the atmosphere for tornadoes across the Deep South and Ohio Valley. The first tornado watches went into effect as early as 8:30 a.m. across parts of Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. The atmosphere began to bubble under a strong capping inversion, and the first tornado watch went into effect for parts of North Alabama at 11 a.m. Thunderstorms that developed through the early afternoon failed to become severe, and forecasters began to worry that they had overhyped the event. The watch for Alabama was canceled about 2:30 p.m. That, it turns out, would be premature. Storms began to fire around 4:30 p.m. near Birmingham. Media outlets on the NOAA WeatherWire service heard alarm bells and saw an ominous statement move across the teletype.
And that was a tornado warning issued at 3:55 on April 3rd. The tornado warning was in effect until 5 o'clock for persons in Jefferson County, which encompasses Birmingham. A possible tornado was indicated by radar along the Jefferson-Tuscaloosa County line southwest of McCalla. At 3:55, it was moving toward the northeast at 45 miles an hour. And added the usual statement, if threatening conditions are sighted, be prepared to move to a place of safety and to report a tornado or other severe weather. Place an emergency collect call to the National Weather Service on 870-1811. I remember that number well. Or ask for the nearest law enforcement agency to relay your report to the nearest National Weather Service office.
This storm produced the first tornado of the day in Alabama. It touched down briefly near Concord in western Jefferson County. No injuries were reported and damage was minor. The severe weather would begin to shift to North Alabama during the next hour.
Here's a severe thunderstorm warning from the National Weather Service in Birmingham, issued at 5:10 this afternoon. A severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 6:10 p.m. Central Daylight Time for persons in Lauderdale, Colbert, Franklin, Marion, and Lamar counties of Alabama. An area of intense thunderstorms is indicated by radar from northern Lauderdale County southward along the Mississippi line near Vernon in Lamar County at 5:10. These thunderstorms were moving rapidly northeast.
Minutes later at 5:54, a funnel cloud was sighted north of Hamilton. It touched down at 6:30 p.m. southwest of Phil Campbell in Franklin County. This same thunderstorm would produce one of the deadliest tornadoes of the night.
And that tornado warning was issued at 5:54 p.m. Central Daylight Time. The tornado warning was in effect until 7 for persons in Colbert, Franklin, Marion, Lawrence, Pickens, and northern Winston County in Alabama. A possible tornado was indicated by radar 3 miles north of Hamilton at 5:52 p.m. and another near DeKalb, Mississippi, just west of Pickens County, Alabama, at about the same time. They were moving toward the northeast at 60 miles an hour.
Meanwhile, forecasters in Kansas City were watching with alarm as tornadoes were firing like a string of firecrackers from the Great Lakes to Alabama. Reports began to overwhelm the strained communications systems. A new tornado watch was issued for 65 of Alabama's 67 counties at 5:45 p.m.
And that tornado watch was number 103, issued on April 3rd at 5:45 p.m. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch for a portion of southeast Mississippi, a large portion of Alabama, a portion of northwest Florida. The threat of tornadoes and severe thunderstorms with large hail and damaging winds will exist in these areas from 5:45 p.m. until 11 p.m. this Wednesday evening. The greatest threat of tornadoes and severe thunderstorms is in an area along and 70 miles, 60 nautical, either side of a line from Huntsville, Alabama, to 45 miles southwest of Mobile, Alabama. Persons in or close to the tornado watch area are advised to be on the outlook for local weather developments and for later statements and warnings.
Reports from northwest Alabama were ominous, with dire statements like, "The tornado is big and powerful and taking everything in its path." The Lawrence County tornado became extremely powerful as it passed northwest of Moulton. 14 people died as the twister fell with a hellish fury on Mount Moriah. Meanwhile, more trouble was brewing further south.
Tornado warning issued 6:55, Wednesday, April 3rd, 1974, National Weather Service, Birmingham. A tornado warning is in effect until 8 o'clock for persons in Pickens, Tuscaloosa, and Fayette counties. A possible tornado is indicated by Aliceville in Pickens County at 6:50 p.m., moving rapidly northeastward.
This storm would produce the Jasper tornado. At 7:10 p.m. Central Daylight Time, the public reported a tornado on the ground near Cordova on U.S. Highway 78. The National Weather Service log indicated that the radar operator at Centerville confirmed it. A warning was already in effect, but the following statement was sent over the wire.
Here's a severe storm report from the National Weather Service in Birmingham, issued tonight at 7:17. Public reports a tornado on the ground north of Cordova and Walker County, about 30 miles northwest of Birmingham. Damage has been reported. Centerville radar also indicates a hook echo, meaning likely tornado. Tornado was on the ground near U.S. 78, moving northeast. It will be moving into southwest Coleman County shortly. Coleman and Walker counties are already under a warning. State troopers report damage and injuries in Cherokee County and northeast Alabama also. Details later.
The storm log at the National Weather Service recorded at 7:25 p.m. that a hook echo was indicated by radar near Berry in Fayette County. 7:37 p.m., Berry police report through Hamilton State that a funnel cloud just passed overhead, moving toward Oakman. 7:40 p.m., Tuscaloosa Police Department reports a tornado at Moore's Bridge, 23 miles northeast of Tuscaloosa. One mobile home destroyed. 7:50 p.m., Centerville reports hook near Oakman, moving east-northeast at 60 miles per hour. Walker County will be issuing warning.
And that tornado warning was issued at 7:50 p.m. on Wednesday, April 3rd. A tornado warning was in effect until 9 p.m. for persons in west and northwest Alabama counties of Cullman, Winston, Walker, Marion, Franklin, Lawrence, northern Tuscaloosa, western Jefferson, Blount, and Lamar. Numerous severe weather reports have been reported over a wide area. A tornado is possibly on the ground near Oakman in southern Walker County between Tuscaloosa and Jasper. Tuscaloosa police reported tornado in the last few minutes at Moore's Bridge in northwest Tuscaloosa County. Large hail stripping trees was reported at Summerton along the Jefferson-Walker County border. Hail was baseball size. To report any severe weather, place an emergency call to the National Weather Service on 870-1811 or ask your nearest law enforcement agency to relay your report to the nearest National Weather Service office.
Reports began to come in on the Jasper tornado. Here are some more entries from the National Weather Service log that night. 8:06 p.m., Hook, northeast Walker County, southwest Coleman County, moving northeast 35 knots. 8:08 p.m., Hook over southwest Coleman County, moving northeast 60 knots. 8:03 p.m., touchdown, Jasper, power lines and trees down. And at the same time, damage reports were pouring in from northwest Alabama.
Here's a severe storm report from the National Weather Service in Birmingham, issued at 8:10 tonight. Numerous injuries have occurred from a tornado that moved across Lawrence County in northwest Alabama earlier this evening, along with considerable damage. We are unable to confirm the extent of injuries at this time, but more will be available as soon as we can get it. A pilot reported just a few minutes ago, flying near Jasper, 35 miles northwest of Birmingham, a tornado on the ground, 5 to 10 miles east of the city of Jasper at 8:03. This places the tornado about 25 miles northwest of Birmingham, moving toward the northeast.
Another severe storm report was issued at 8:25 p.m. Central Daylight Time that Wednesday evening. Reports are still sketchy from Lawrence County in northwest Alabama, but civil defense searchers confirm 5 persons killed. The hospital at Moulton has requested 50 additional stretchers. This was from the tornado that moved across Lawrence County in northwest Alabama at approximately 7 p.m. tonight.
Then came this message, typed urgently on the NOAA weather wire, probably by our own J.B. Elliott.
That is correct. I really remember that, and also the previous two severe storm reports that Bill and Brian read. The tornado struck the downtown area of Jasper, 35 miles northwest of Birmingham. Ambulances have been dispatched, and there is considerable damage. This is the same severe storm that is now in the Cullman area. The Jasper tornado apparently occurred at about 8:15 Central Daylight Time. Civil defense officials report approximately 6 people killed in Lawrence County in northwest Alabama.
The first Lawrence County tornado crossed over Wheeler Lake at 6:50 p.m. Central Daylight Time, crumpling the 200-foot tower at the Amoco Chemical Plant. For a while, it became a giant white waterspout. It continued its death march near Tanner. A news reporter said that it was like something out of the Old Testament, a pillar of clouds, black, majestic, and ominous as it moved across the farmlands of southern Limestone County. The tornado lifted at 7:28 p.m. Central Daylight Time over Madison County, after claiming 28 lives. Even as rescue crews were frantically searching through the destruction in Lawrence County, a second thunderstorm was following the path of the first storm some 30 minutes later. The path of the second Tanner tornado was never more than 1.5 miles from the first one. A man injured in the first tornado at Tanner was carried to a church to await transport by ambulance, only to be killed by the second twister. Ambulances en route to the damage areas from the first twister were destroyed by the second one. 19 people perished in this tornado. Damage reports were pouring in. At 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a tornado sizzled down from a thunderstorm near Aliceville in Pickens County. It struck the tiny town of Moores Bridge in Tuscaloosa County at 7:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time. 2 people were killed at the Alta Baptist Church, where Wednesday night prayer services were being conducted. The tornado roared into the western side of Jasper and Walker County and into the downtown area at 7:57 p.m. The courthouse was heavily damaged. The twister went on to strike the southeast side of Cullman at 8:40 p.m. A total of 3 people died along the tornado's path.
Here's a severe storm report from the National Weather Service in Birmingham at 9:05. WAPI Radio in Birmingham reporting some deaths in Jasper from tornadoes that struck at 7:45 p.m. tonight. The number is unknown. Downtown Jasper and West Jasper were hardest hit. There are numerous injuries. All available help is requested. Damage is apparently heavy. Ham radio operators confirm reports from the airport manager at Jasper that the Walker County Courthouse has been damaged. Numerous stores are damaged, and at least one is destroyed. There is no power at the airport, and the last sighting of the tornado from the Jasper Airport came at 7:45 p.m. tonight. Further information as soon as it can be received.
Meanwhile, a supercell thunderstorm was rapidly intensifying over eastern Mississippi.
Tornado warning. National Weather Service Birmingham issued 9 o'clock Wednesday, April 3rd, 1974. A tornado warning is in effect until 10 o'clock for persons in northwest Alabama counties of Lamar, Marion, Franklin, Lauderdale, and Lawrence. Thunderstorm activity is intensified again over northwest Alabama, and there have been several reports of damage in northeast Mississippi. The thunderstorms are moving northeast at 65 to 70 miles per hour. Radar at Jackson, Mississippi reports large hail indicated in the Sullivan-Winfield area of Lamar and Marion counties. Centerville radar reports a hook echo indicating a possible tornado at Ewan in southwest Marion County. To report severe weather, place an emergency collect call to the National Weather Service in Birmingham.
Another tornado warning was issued by the National Weather Service in Birmingham at 9:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time, April 3rd, 1974. A tornado warning is in effect until 10:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time for persons in the northwest Alabama counties of Winston, Lawrence, Marion, Franklin. A very severe thunderstorm covers most of Marion County, moving toward the northeast at 65 to 70 miles per hour. Centerville radar indicates 3 well-defined hook echoes indicating possible tornadoes in this huge storm, and very large hail is indicated too. Here is a late report from the National Weather Service in Birmingham. Centerville radar indicates that the hook echo indicating a possible tornado in northern Winston County is moving northeast in excess of 120 miles per hour. Winston County is already under a warning. So is Lauderdale County. Lauderdale County should be especially alert.
Dale Black at the National Weather Service radar station in Centerville stared in amazement at his radar scope. He double-checked his calculation and called his coworker over. The storm was indeed moving at 113 miles per hour and had 3 hook echoes in it. Ed Landry would later say it was the darndest thing he ever saw. The Guin tornado touched down north of Columbus, Mississippi before 9 p.m. It moved into Alabama about 8:50 p.m. Central Daylight Time. It became perhaps the strongest tornado ever observed in the state of Alabama as it moved across Marion County. At 9:04 p.m., it unleashed its fury on the small town of Guin. It left 23 people dead and over 250 injured. It would be nearly 2.5 hours later before news of the disaster would reach the National Weather Service in Birmingham.
And at 11:30 p.m. on that Wednesday, April 3rd, the Weather Service in Birmingham issued this severe storm report. State Trooper Office reports tornado struck Ewan in the southwest Marion County, about 70 miles north-northwest of Birmingham, about 10:30 Central Daylight Time. First reports indicate 3 dead. Considerable damage. The number of injuries is unknown.
Even as the longest tornado of the night was cutting its 135-mile swath of devastation across Marion and Winston counties, the National Weather Service in Birmingham took a moment to recap.
Severe storm report, National Weather Service, Birmingham, 10 p.m. Wednesday, April 3rd, 1974. As of 10 p.m., approximately 18 persons have been killed in tornadoes in North Alabama this evening. Reports from state troopers, civil defense, and ham radio operators and the mayor of Cullman give these figures. Lauderdale County, 13 dead. Limestone County, 3 dead. Cullman County, 2 dead in the city of Cullman. In addition, there have been some deaths in Jasper, 35 miles northwest of Birmingham in Walker County. Earlier reports indicated 2 dead. Then the death toll probably stands at 20 at least. Injuries are numerous. A hospital at Jasper was hit, and ambulances from Birmingham have been dispatched to aid in patient transfer.
Meanwhile, the Guin tornado was approaching the Huntsville area. A single entry in the National Weather Service Birmingham log tells the story. 10:20 p.m., Huntsville Weather Service office abandoned.
Here's a chilling storm report. The National Weather Service in Birmingham at 10:22 reporting urgently that the National Weather Service in Huntsville has abandoned their office as a tornado is bearing down on the Huntsville Jetport. The Huntsville area should be especially alert. Tornado warning is already in effect for that area.
The situation across North Alabama was chaotic. The National Weather Service in Birmingham began to issue blanket warnings.
Here is a tornado warning issued by the National Weather Service in Birmingham at 10:35 p.m. Central Daylight Time, April 3, 1974. A tornado warning is in effect until 11:30 p.m. for most of the northwestern quarter of Alabama, including Tuscaloosa, Lauderdale, Limestone, Madison, Colbert, Lawrence, Franklin, Cullman, Winston, Marion, Walker, Fayette, Lamar, Tuscaloosa, and Pickens counties. Numerous large and very intense thunderstorms continue to move rapidly northeastward over these areas at speeds of 65 to 70 miles per hour. These storms have already produced several tornadoes. Centerville radar reports a hook echo indicating a possible tornado in Guin in southwest Marion County. Severe weather continues to develop so rapidly that persons should be on the alert for local weather developments and take cover when any thunderstorm activity approaches.
Here's a special notice for the Huntsville-Decatur area issued by the National Weather Service in Birmingham at 10:45 on this Wednesday, April the 3rd, 1974. Special notice, Huntsville-Decatur radio and TV stations. The Huntsville Weather Service office is still abandoned. The Birmingham office has assumed responsibilities for issuing warnings for your area. Please note that the 10:35 warning also affects your area. Please be advised of the following also. Centerville radar now indicates hook echoes at 10:43 as follows. 5 miles south-southeast of Huntsville-Decatur Jetport, 5 miles northeast of Hamilton, 5 miles southeast of Winfield, 17 miles northwest of Aliceville, and near Philadelphia, Mississippi. All of the hook echoes moving rapidly northeast and indicate possible tornadoes.
Fortunately, when the Guin tornado broke up on the high slopes of Montesano Mountain, east of Huntsville, it signaled the beginning of the end of the tragic night. An exhausted J.B. Elliott sat down to type the following summary of the event at 7 a.m.
This is a storm summary from the Weather Service Birmingham at 7 a.m. on Thursday, April 4. Following is a resume of one of Alabama's worst nights of tornadoes. No effort is made to make a concise report at this time, only the highlights. Tornadoes, almost too many to count, cut from the southwest to the northeast across various sections of Alabama last night. There are reports that as many as 69 persons may have been killed, with injuries too numerous to count at this time. In Alabama, severe weather began around 4 in the afternoon when golf ball-sized hail started pelting several areas of Walker and Jefferson counties. At 6:35, two mobile homes were destroyed and at least two persons injured at center in northeast Alabama's Cherokee County. The major events all times are in Central Daylight Time. 5:52 p.m., tornado was indicated by radar 3 miles north of Hamilton or 80 miles northwest of Birmingham. This is believed to be the same tornado that cut a path of destruction across Lawrence, Limestone, and Madison counties between 6 and 7 o'clock, killing 13 persons in Lawrence County, 3 in Limestone County, and 14 in Madison County. At one time, witnesses described this tornado as huge and taking everything in its path. Injuries are numerous, and property damage is major. 7:30 p.m., tornado touched down at Moore's Bridge, 27 miles northwest of Tuscaloosa, at 7:35 p.m. It was over Oakman in Walker County. And at 7:40, it plowed into downtown Jasper in Walker County, which is about 35 miles northwest of Birmingham. Damage was major. Hardest hit was downtown in the western section of the city of 11,000 population. The Walker County Courthouse was damaged. It is leaning and considered unsafe. Reports indicate 4 dead and 50 to 75 persons injured in Jasper. At 8:03 p.m., the tornado was sighted by a pilot 5 to 10 miles east of Jasper. 8:34 p.m., it had moved to a point 5 miles southwest of Cullman and was bearing down on the city. 8:45 p.m. is the approximate time that it hit the city of Cullman, mainly the southeast part of the city, some 45 miles north of Birmingham. The Cullman County Civil Defense reports 1 dead, 7 hospitalized, 27 others treated and dismissed. 250 persons have been placed in public shelters, 65 homes damaged, 10 mobile homes damaged, 10 businesses damaged, major power failure, 4 blocks of Cullman severely damaged. 9:04 p.m., the tornado struck the Gwin area of southwest Marion County, which was about 78 miles northwest of Birmingham. Main damage was just north of Gwin. First reports indicated 3 dead, but County Rescue Squad now indicates 18 or 19 may be dead in Gwin. 9:55 p.m. Apparently the same tornado struck Delmar in western Weston County. Unknown injuries, 5 mobile homes destroyed. 10:22 p.m. Huntsville National Weather Service office abandoned as a tornado bore down on the airport. Numerous planes destroyed. It is hard to tell how many tornadoes passed through the immediate Huntsville-Decatur area, but at least 2 or 3. Damage is extensive. Fatalities, Alabama by counties, Walker 4, Cullman 1, Limestone 3, Lawrence 3, Marion 3, possibly 19, Winston 4, Madison 14, Tuscaloosa 1, total about 43, possibly as many as 60. The Birmingham News reports indicated the death toll may be somewhat higher. The Birmingham News tabulates the death toll in Alabama as at 82. This was later. Various other sources have indicated 60 to 70. It is unclear if the Madison County total, as figures show, 14 to 28 in that county alone.
What you've been listening to has been a recreation of the events of April 3rd, 1974, here in Alabama. This recreation was written by Bill Murray. Bill, great job.
Well, it's funny, David, because I spent probably a dozen Saturdays after the event in the National Weather Service office here in Birmingham and actually transcribed all of these warnings by hand onto paper and sat down. I found them in a file a year ago or so and sat down and transcribed them. And it was just chilling to sit there and read, you know, what was going on that night. It must have been an incredible night.
And this tonight is like reliving a nightmare.
I'll tell you what, it really is. James, you have some really vivid memories of this time, too.
Well, I was a senior in high school living in Tuscaloosa at the time, and for much of that evening, I worked the net control station at the Tuscaloosa County Civil Defense, which, oddly enough, in 1974 was in the attic of Tuscaloosa City Hall, if you can believe that. But about 9 o'clock, I was sent north when it was obvious that Tuscaloosa was going to miss all of this and there were real problems to the north. I wound up going to Jasper to set up a communications post at the old People's Hospital. That was the hospital hitting one of those texts from the Weather Service. And I worked that spot all night, relaying information from downtown Jasper back to the Red Cross and other relief agencies in Birmingham. And for all of us that were around back then, it was a night you'll never forget.
Really amazing to think of weather that severe. And I'm just amazed at the speed of some of these tornadoes. You don't see that very often.
I need to tell my most memorable telephone call I ever received while working for the National Weather Service that night. 2:32 a.m., I remember it distinctly. I had just gone back to the ready room to get a cup of coffee and a banana moon pie. Came back out and sat down at my desk. We were in a lull at that time. We answered phones all night. In fact, we had an automated phone system sponsored by First Alabama Bank, which is now Regions Bank, that would take 58 telephone calls every 12 seconds and 8 long-distance calls, and we received 56,000 telephone calls during that event because the telephone company would count every fifth call. Anyway, at 2:32 a.m., the phone rang. It was a faint voice of a lady, and she said, "I'm calling from 50 miles away, and I can't talk long because this is long-distance," and back then, long-distance calls were something like 54 cents a minute or 74 cents a minute. And she said, "May I read a few Bible verses to you guys up there?" I said, "Sure, I believe in that." She read a few Bible verses, and then she said a short prayer. And when she said amen, I realized I had been trapped. She lit into me and just really, really chewed me out and everybody there. She said, "You guys are keeping everybody in the state of Alabama awake, and God is going to deal with you." She said, "When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, God is going to deal with you severely for keeping everybody up and scaring them to death." By then, I had worked about 15 hours straight and was exhausted. We're supposed to be courteous to people on the telephone, but this is one time I was not. And I said, "Lady, if you don't get off of this phone immediately, I'm going over to my super powerful radar, pick out the strongest thunderstorm in the state, and reprogram it to come right across your house." And she said, the only thing I heard after that was, "Oh my God," click.
J.B. Elliott. I believe you did that. I believe you said that.
I did. That's exactly what I said.
Well, the good news is the statute of limitations has run out, JB, on that.
I wonder if that lady's listening to this podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she sounded like she was 82 then and didn't have all the jelly in her jar. But exactly 1 hour later, and this is a short one. I know I'm dominating the time here. Don't want to do that. But it was my duty. I was also working the midnight shift then. That was my regular shift, and I worked a whole lot extra. But around 3:30 in the morning, we started gathering river data to send to the River Forecast Center. We had to code it up and send it by teletype to the River Forecast Center. No computers in those days. And we would call the automatic river gauge on the Sipsey River in Cordova. And if it, for example, if it gave me 6 long beeps and 3 short beeps, that meant the Sipsey River was 6.3 feet deep. So I dialed the number. I was so sleepy, I was about to fall out of the chair. And instead of hearing beeps, I heard this little voice, "Hello?" And I said, "Excuse me, lady, are you my automatic river gauge?" And she said, "Hold on a minute." And she left the phone for a minute, and I heard a terrible noise. She left, and she said, "Let me turn the light on." I heard a terrible noise. And when she came back to the phone, I said, "What happened?" She said, "Before I could get to the light, I fell over this cane-back chair and fell in the floor." And her husband was named Fred, and I could hear him in the background. And he said, "What in the world is going on?" And she said, "Fred, this man on the phone wants to know if I'm his automatic river gauge." And Fred said, "Tell him no, that you're a human being."
Oh, man.
I explained to her that that was a mistake. In fact, I called him again after I was getting off later that morning and daytime and explained again and apologized. And they understood. They took it real well.
Man, what a wrong number. Tell you what, this is really a chilling reminder of what can happen in the weather. Don't you guys think? I just wonder what the odds, the chances are that we might ever have to face a time like this again.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's no doubt it'll happen again. Look what happened in Tennessee last night.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I have to admit that when JB was reading his summary, I remember this summary. Not real well, but I remember this. I was in the regional office in Fort Worth, and we dispatched a number of severe weather survey teams. The southern region encompasses Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, among a bunch of other states, you know, back out to New Mexico and Florida. And we dispatched a bunch of teams out. And since I was relatively new in the regional office, I'd only been there since October of 73. And this was, that's about 6 months later, I guess. I was elected to stay back and coordinate all these teams that were going out there to different locations. And I remember reading this summary, was given. We copied it and gave it to all the survey teams that were going out into Alabama and Tennessee and Mississippi.
Just an amazing time. I would like to think that if this did happen again, that we'd have a lot smaller loss of life through the warning system and all the capabilities we have to warn people with now.
You know, I'd like to think that too, but you know what I'm afraid of, David? I'm afraid that it's going to be just the opposite, because the warning system is better, but what's the population of Jasper today? What's that, 32 years later?
It's at least 20,000 to 25,000 or more, isn't it?
That's what I would guess. But I don't know about what the population density. Even if you had exactly the same number of tornadoes of the same intensity, I'm not so sure that the death toll wouldn't be higher.
That's going over the exact same tracks.
Yes. Just simply because, you know, I mean, think of the population now, 32 years later, from 32 years ago. Yeah, we sure got better warnings today, but after the April 8th, 98 tornado, I really came to the realization that, you know, if you just move that track 3 miles, just take the whole track exactly the way it came about, move it 3 miles east, and the number of people affected is tripled.
That's scary.
I mean, I don't think I could have laid a tornado track. If I were programming, as JB told that lady that he was going to program his super-duper radar, super-powerful radar, if I were programming a tornado, I don't think I could have a tornado go through parts of Jefferson County that were as relatively unpopulated as the April 8th tornado did, and yet, 98, of course, and yet look at the 32 deaths we had out of that one.
Yeah, one thing that struck me interesting about the outbreak, David, when you read at the beginning, you know, there were six F5 tornadoes that day. You know, we've been since 1999 since we've actually had an F5, and unless one actually occurred yesterday in Tennessee, I guess. But we've been, we've been that many years without one, and in the United States, and they had six in that one day.
And it would be interesting to know how many people's lives were saved by that April 8th warning from the Weather Service, and James Spann's continuous description of it on television.
I think just
Ron
about
Peters
every,
issued the warning, and we did the television coverage.
I think just about every TV in the state was on 3340.
Yeah, I know that for a fact, because out there in Concord and Rock Creek Park area, I talked to a number of people after the event, like a week later, and many of them praised James and the coverage that 3340 had done. And they credited him with saving their lives. I know the survey team came in, James, and I think this was April 8th storm, of course, and they talked to you and then went out and talked to these people. And I remember them saying to me, this is amazing that you had 32 dead with such a timely warning and such fantastic distribution with people listening to it.
Yeah, you know, I think that idea has caught on. I know that a number of stations in this big outbreak Sunday night were wall-to-wall in markets like Memphis, and I think that probably helped spare big, it was horrible losing 27 lives with all those outbreaks, but I think it could have been worse, and I know the TV guys are pretty aggressive, and it's good to see that. And by the way, the storm survey just came out. Looks like the preliminary rankings for the Dyer and Gibson County, Tennessee tornadoes will be an F3, which is interesting.
That was an incredible pounding yesterday and last night. We just are fortunate not to have had to deal with any more than what we got here in Alabama.
Some of the damage I saw and some of the video I've seen, which is not, I want to qualify this, is not a lot of video, but I'm not sure I agree with what I saw. Of course, the problem is when you see it in video, it's tough to know for sure what the structure was like prior to being destroyed. And that is one of the problems with looking at video or looking at still pictures and trying to, make a determination, because that depends on a lot of factors, and you need to know something about what the structures look like before they were destroyed.
I have a funny feeling we'll probably be talking about more tornadoes next week. We do the show. Looks like another pretty big outbreak later this week, David, for the middle of the country, Thursday and then into Friday. And it sure looks like it's going to be more trouble out there. So it sure looks like an active spring. And our buddies in Missouri and Arkansas and places like that, I think, will be under the gun again.
Well, we will be watching and hoping that that doesn't materialize, James. But just the same, trying to be ready if it does occur. Bill Murray, thanks again for your work on the presentation tonight.
It was fun.
Yes, that was nice.
And if you would like to contact us here at WeatherBrains, we'll give you our email address. It's question@weatherbrains.com. We would love to hear from you. That's it for this podcast. We thank you for listening. WeatherBrains is a production of The Weather Company out of Birmingham, Alabama. WeatherBrains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Again, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.